Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
We like to be persons who are in the stream.
Amen.
We open ourselves right now.
Amen.
Open ourselves to you and your inward speaking.
Amen.
Show us how we can be ones in the stream.
Amen.
Who can give you a way to flow on our campuses.
Amen.
Who can give you the way to reach man.
Amen.
To water man.
Amen.
To bring man to enjoy you.
Amen.
Or to know you.
Amen.
To prepare for your return.
Amen.
Lord, bring us all into the stream.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Amen. If there's anyone else who's remotely thinking that they might take the paper out of their binder, please do it right now. I'll give you 5 seconds. Amen. In the stream.
Amen.
My burden this morning is to unveil you to see your importance on your own campuses. I feel like you've heard many speakings for as long as you've been in college about how necessary you are and how important your function is. And I think that to some degree you have this burden and this desire to function in this way. But I'd like to impress you again this morning that there is no campus work apart from you.
Amen.
I'd like you to say that. There is no campus work apart from me. Say it again. There is no campus work apart from me. At this moment, you're thinking, well, there kind of is a campus work apart from me. There's full-timers, there's community saints. But I don't think you understand what I'm saying. There is no campus work apart from you. There is none. There's no such thing because you yourselves are the continuation of what it means to have a campus work. In a sense, you can say there are many who can come and help you, but really, this is a commission given to you by the living God.
Amen.
The full-timers, the trainees, the community saints are your support. But the Lord has called each and every one of you to your campuses and says that this work belongs to you.
Amen.
I want to impress you this morning that there is no campus work apart from you. But not apart from you as individuals, but apart from you as a nucleus. Said differently, this work is not for individuals. This work is for a blended group. This work is for a nucleus. So how about we start in this way? How about we read today's title? A blended student nucleus taking the lead on campus. Sisters. Brothers. So a blended student nucleus taking the lead on campus. Probably what you're thinking subconsciously, though you may be saying amen, is something along this line. A blended full-timer nucleus taking the lead on campus. Right? Check your experience. Is this not how you feel? For your welcome dinners, for your contacting the students, how do you perceive this? If I don't do it, it will get done. It won't get done? Probably not. Probably you think, well, I'm kind of busy, so it's okay. If I don't do this, at least the full-timers can take care of it. Or at least the community saints can take care of it. We want to crush this thought that's in you. It's time to turn from thinking this way. Recently, we've had this burden released in Austin that if there's not a good continuation of all the students bearing fruit, then ultimately, within a couple of years, maybe 20, 30 years, we'll all be gone. But I don't think that within us, we have this view that we're that important. I think to us, we feel like we are the support, and it's really the full-timers and the trainees that are taking the lead. This should not be the case. And the Lord has been burdening us in these days that we would see ourselves differently. That indeed it is the Lord our God that has sent each and every one of us to our campuses. I like the brothers to have Daniel 11:32 ready. And I like the sisters to have Romans 12:11. And I'll read Roman numeral 1 as you guys get that prepared. The only way to have a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing gospel work on any college campus is to have a nucleus of students that can take up the leadership on that campus. I want to read it again one more time for you. The only way to have a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing gospel work on any college campus is to have a nucleus of students that can take up the leadership on that campus. Brothers, I'd like you to read Daniel 11:32, beginning with "but." One more time with an exercise spirit.
But the people who know their God will show strength and take action.
In this time, so far in the college training, do you feel like you have a little bit more knowledge concerning who your God is?
Amen.
Do you not see that in the Lord's heart He has the desire to return?
Amen.
Amen, right?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord has a desire to return. And each one of us has a portion, has a part in this. Our part is that we are students contacting students. That's who you are. That's why the Lord has sent you on the college campuses in this time. In my heart of hearts, I pray that through this fellowship this morning, you would be encouraged and strengthened to show strength and take action.
Amen.
That you yourself would be impressed in the Lord to come forward and take up your part in the Lord's return. Recently, I've been impressed by a testimony from the Saddleback students, and I'll call them up in a second, about their experience as students taking the lead on their campus. And what characterizes their taking the lead is probably against your concept. Your concept is probably that there will be some who will come and bring you together and tell you what to do. But this was not their experience. Their experience is that they knew their God, and they showed strength and they took action because they were enjoying the Lord. They enjoyed the Lord and they came to know their Lord. And because they knew their Lord, they took action on their campus. So maybe at this time we could have Saddleback come up right now. Amen. Amen, Saddleback.
Amen.
Amen. So what they're going to do is they're going to introduce themselves one by one, but only a few of them will speak and give a little bit of a testimony to say exactly how the Lord moved in them, what the Lord has been doing on their campuses, on their campus. Excuse me. And perhaps that come up on the stage. And I hope that through their testimony, you all will be encouraged that it all begins with our own personal enjoyment of the Lord. If you yourself are not enjoying the Lord, you can forget anything of the matter of your student nucleus. Everything of the Christian life begins with our enjoyment of the Lord. So I'm going to turn it over to them. Amen.
Sophia, and I have been helping out as a trainee, one of the trainees on Saddleback campus for the past 2 years.
Hi, I'm Courtney Fair, and I was just baptized this past December, actually, and I just thank the Lord for His mercy to introducing me to the saints on campus, for bringing me into the body to be built up for His corporate bride.
Hi, my name is Raphael. I received the Lord last fall. I got baptized in March this year. Just wanted to share something that a brother shared with me the other night. It was about the ark, Noah's ark, where Jehovah God shuts the door behind Noah once he goes into the ark. And that just... the ark is the church, and I was brought into the church, and the Lord shut the door behind me, just like all of us. So praise the Lord, and just preach the gospel.
Amen.
Okay. My name is Jared. I have been with the Saddleback, helping out, been a student kind of for about 4 years now. And I guess I'll go ahead. So basically, the Saddleback College has had a Christian Students Club there for about 10 years now. Like I said, I've been there for about 4 years. I've moved on to Cal State Fullerton now, but I kind of go back and help out when I can. It started off as kind of a trainee-driven team. That's the way I like to describe it. It's because there was a club there Tuesday through Thursday from about 12 to 2, and there was a table, and it was really sweet. I mean, I'll describe kind of with my limited time. So we have the quad, and kind of in the corner of the quad, there was a table with a blue banner that says Christian Students Club with a verse underneath it. And there are about four or five chairs behind that table with people sitting there, mostly trainees. And there's a lot going on. I mean, there were students stopping, we're handing out tracts, we were preaching the gospel. It was good. But time marches on to fall 2012 semester, and we were able to have a couple of the recently graduated trainees to stick around and serve part-time. And then we also had some students, such as Raphael and Courtney, that came and started meeting with us on campus. So fall 2012 was so sweet because we met normally on campus. We didn't really have a table, per se, at that time. We didn't really get the proper forms filled out. But we met on campus. We met more normally in the homes. It was really sweet, really good, really healthy. Time continues to march on to spring 2013, this past semester. We had a table, and it kind of morphed from that table in the corner. We just decided to kind of put it out in the middle of the quad. So we had this little grassy area, this grassy knoll, where we put our table with the same blue banner and the same kind of chairs behind it, yet the chairs were more in a circle now. They just kind of ended up being a circle. I'll take a second to kind of describe the atmosphere at Saddleback. It's what we call in South County chill. It's really chill. I mean, there's probably a guy who was just surfing, came to class, came to campus, maybe didn't go to class. Maybe there's a guy who was going to surf. Anyway, people go there to kind of just chill. And that's what we ended up doing, kind of. So so there was just the circle of chairs. Oh, yeah, so in this campus, they just have these, like, chaise lounge kind of lawn chairs just everywhere to kind of enhance the atmosphere of chilling and, like, decrease the amount of studying. So there's these chairs. So we just kind of set up these chairs in a circle, and that's what we did. We had our table. Behind it was the chairs, and there was some fellowship. There was a lot of really sweet fellowship. There's some singing. There was trainees there. There were students there. There were serving ones there. So some people brought their guitars. And we would just sing in the middle of campus, just being there, chilling. We would sing. We would fellowship. We would even just talk normally, just become friends. We just became, we created this, or there's this normal relationship between us created. We became close. So there was, you know, there were still the home meetings going on. It was very, very sweet. And then there were some, like you'll meet in a second, Sarah, who I think just kind of smelled a sweet-smelling savor coming from the middle of campus and was just drawn to it. And there were more. There were more who aren't able to be here, but that just kind of came and just lingered with us, chilled with us, and enjoyed the Lord with us. So we kind of took a step back and looked at it about halfway through the semester, where these eight chairs turned into about 15 chairs, or four chairs turned into about 15 chairs, I should say. And we realized that we weren't doing a whole lot. We were just enjoying. So the growth and the fruit from Saddleback was not a result of our doing and doing and striving and doing all this stuff. It was a result of enjoying, of our enjoyment, of our chilling in our spirit. So amen.
My name is Sarah, and I just wanted to say I am so happy that I get a chance to talk about this incredible Saddleback group. Honestly, like, I grew up in the Christian life. I knew God. I walked away for a time, but coming to Saddleback after a very long and difficult road was just incredible because I found these crazy Christian believers in the middle of the social heaven that was Saddleback, just this great, like Jared said, grassy area. And literally, it was just where all the kids came to hang out, whether, you know, different, like, LARPing groups, I'm not going to explain that, but different social groups. And the Christian club was one of them. And when I came there, I literally just attacked the Christian world. I walked away, and I was like, you know what, I just want to give it my all. And I found, like, four or five different groups. I kind of went a little insane, but I landed on this group. And it was just so incredible because when I came in of March of this year, and that was when everything started expanding. That was when it went from there were four people behind the table to all of a sudden we were literally stealing people's chairs and not feeling very Christian about it. And we just fellowship and we worship. We'd have to get like two cabanas because there were so many of us. We're all dying in the heat, but we still wanted to be there. And we were letting the Lord just use us and flow through us, and people would walk by. They're like, why are they singing? Why are they, like, calling on the Lord's name? Why are they dressed kind of not quite the way we are, a little weird, you know? But we're like, that's okay. We're normal, but not normal in the way that the world sees it, but the way that God sees us. And it was just, it was so powerful, not just because of the fact that, okay, yes, we were preaching the word in campus, but because we were living it. It was faith lived out, and that's what drew me, because, to be honest, I didn't even know that the Lord's recovery existed until I walked up to this booth and said, hello, my name is Sarah. Nice to meet you, Travis. He's on our guitar. Hi, Travis. He's also a part of our group. Wonderful, wonderful help. He just let everything. Anyway, it's just so wonderful because if I had come to maybe just one of these meetings, to be quite honest, I would have been a little taken aback. But to see it lived, to see faith lived as it's meant to be lived, it's so powerful. And I made a whole bunch of friends, a little social butterfly. I just brought all my friends there. I was like, and not the fact that I dragged them there and said, you don't have Jesus, you need Jesus, but they would ask. I would hang out with them all the time. Like there were four or five of them or something like that. And I got to know them. I listened to them. I loved them. I loved them like I thought Christ loved others. He was amongst the sinners. I was amongst them, but I wasn't in their world. And I brought them to mine, which was these wonderful people, and they helped me because it's frightening trying to preach the word when you're outnumbered. And to have all the fellow believers behind me and supporting me was just absolutely incredible. So I guess that's what I want to impress on you. It's just like through that, through having the support, through having your companions, through going out in the world and then letting them be like, what is that? And they can fellowship with us but still feel comfortable. It's like several of my friends, they either became saved, or they rededicated their life to the Lord, or it simply was just a seed was planted. And sometimes that's all God needs, and you just let him take that away and use it. Just let God be God. That's all you need. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Priscilla. I actually met the trainees about 2 years ago, which is how I got connected with the church. Previous to meeting the trainees through the Christian Club on campus, I was a believer, but I did not know about my human spirit. I did not know the church as the body of Christ, as a living organism. So it wasn't until last semester that I was actually able to start serving alongside my dear brothers and sisters on the campus, due to that my schedule was so open. So I had the privilege to actually start meeting with them on campus just a few hours and a few days a week. And actually, my burden is really to stress the fact that it wasn't that we were drawing so many by all these spiritual things we could say to them. Actually, it was just the seeking ones coming because they saw such a shining testimony. And it wasn't us, it was just the Lord himself expressed through us. He really was the one that drew them. And in the middle of the campus, which was physically, it was the center where we would meet, that really just implies that the Lord was our center. The Lord was the one that was drawing all these ones. And little by little, the ones that started meeting with us actually started serving alongside us, and they started bringing their friends. We just became friends with all these ones. We did have the Word of God, and we spoke of spiritual things, but then we would just sit for hours, and we would just talk about just human things, just life, and all these different matters. And I think that's really what impressed all these ones that would meet with us. And even though they might have not been believers, or they were, but yet it wasn't that. It was just the Lord was our testimony. The Lord was the light in us, the life in us, and they saw the church being lived out through all of us, just the organism, which is the church, the body of Christ. And then preceding that, so many of these started meeting with us at homes about once a week on Thursday nights for the college meetings. And then that was even a greater expression. Such a simple, practical way to really expose so many that have not been exposed to the body of Christ, that the church is not so much a location. Really, it's all the members, each one of us. And all we have to continue doing is just enjoying and eating the Lord, being romantic with the Lord. He really is our first love. He's our bridegroom, and he is the most romantic one. So when all these students saw us, they didn't see such a religious group. They saw life, and they saw love, and the Lord himself in all of us.
Amen. Thank you, Saddleback. Wasn't that really good? Amen. They were just ones enjoying the Lord. Amen. And out of the enjoyment of the Lord came forth this nucleus that was organic and was living. I feel like so often we have all these concepts about what it means to actually take the lead on our campus, doing so many practical things as setting up this administration and having the tables. But if you consider what they did, it all began with the enjoyment of the Lord. No one told them what to do. The living Lord within them led them organically about how they should take the lead on their campus. And I guess my burden for you all is that as you go back to, in a sense, endeavor to practice in this way, you would not forget the most important thing of all. In your Lord sending you there to your campus, it must be the Lord as the living one within you doing everything. To take the lead is to be led by our Lord. We enjoy the Lord and He takes the lead. He's our bridegroom. He's our husband. We let Him live in us and out of us. Just some things that I like to bring out from their testimony is this matter of friendship. I feel like so often we have this kind of, what's the word? Like, I'm going to shepherd you now. Okay, prepare your being. Here I come. It's shepherding time. And that really turns people off. Actually, the thing that people want the most on their college campus are friends. And it just so happens that you happen to be in love with the Lord. So what are you going to talk about when you guys come together? Where's the Lord? But that's not your goal. As Priscilla was saying, they had the word. They had the Lord. But what were they doing? They were just students among students. Just being friends and going through normal student things. But at the other hand, they were enjoying the Lord. They were enjoying the Lord in a fresh way. Actually, talking to them, they would tell me that they'd be there for hours. Hours! Like, when's the last time you've been on your campus for hours just enjoying the Lord? Probably not that often. I know, at least I wasn't, if I'm going to be honest. But I was impressed by that testimony. They had other things to do, but the fact is that they were enjoying the Lord to the ultimate amount. And because of that, that led them to be there and available for people to see it and for people to enter into it. So how about we go on a little bit? How about we read letter A under Roman numeral, under number one. The saints who attend a given school or college should first come together and fellowship and fan one another's spirits into flame. And sisters, can you read Romans 12:11? Amen. 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 One more time. Amen. 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 One other thing about their testimony that I thought was very good is the fact is they started with a small amount and it grew. I feel like oftentimes we may consider in our own situation, well, there's only two of us, so we can't do that much, or there's only three of us. But actually, that's the best way that it can begin. Because in this kind of small situation, there can be the real mutual care and mutual love for one another. And as this kind of care happens, spontaneously, people respond to care, and your nucleus will grow. And as one of them testified, actually, these ones who were enjoying eventually became ones who labored alongside of them. No one told them what to do. They enjoyed the Lord. All of this was very much so organic. Amen. So again, my burden for you all is that in your beginnings, you would not forget that everything begins with our enjoyment of the Lord. Amen. If we are not enjoying the Lord, you can forget about taking the lead on your campus. because taking the lead on the campus is related to our enjoyment of the Lord.
Amen.
We take the lead in enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
And others will follow.
Amen.
So now Ken will follow me now to speak about more the practical matter of that after this has begun. How can we go on in a coordinated way so that the Lord can move specifically on our campus? Amen.
Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope you really enjoyed all the testimonies this week, because I really enjoyed them. I felt like that is really the highlight of all the speaking for this session, because this is really, I would consider, just like Brother Phil shared earlier in the session, this is a learning session. We're also here to learn from one another, right? Because we all have so many different experiences that we have on the college campuses. And, you know, just at least in talking to some of the students, I know there are many testimonies that could be shared that are not shared at this time. So I would just encourage you, this is a wonderful opportunity. When can you gather together with all the college students from the West Coast, right? Especially many of you, I know, are very much burdened for the Lord's move on the campus. Even in your times, right, activity times, recreation times, it's good to play basketball together, right, to play volleyball together. But how about also learn from one another? You know, you can get together. What have you been doing? What's been working for you, right? How do you carry out your coordination time? So not just learning from us, but learning from one another. So I really just want to encourage you to have this kind of learning and endeavoring spirit. None of us are there yet, but then we're moving, right? We're moving toward a certain direction. And this whole session, we started with what? With having a heart for man, right? Because God has a desire and a heart for man. And then yesterday we saw that we need companions. We need companions to pursue the Lord with one another, to pick each other up when we fail or when we have certain weaknesses, right? But then we see all of this. Today we come to the point that the title says, a blended student nucleus taking the lead on the campus. So today we see that in order for the Lord to move on the college campus, that he actually needs a little bit more than just the twos and threes, right? He actually needs a group of blended people in order for him to move, to participate on the college campus, right? Yesterday in the evening, I'm sure we all really were impressed with the signs of the Lord's coming. And the last one of which is that we need to preach the gospel, right? The gospel of the kingdom. And how do we do this? It's not in an individual kind of way, but then it's actually through our blending together with one another. Okay? How about let's go to Roman numeral 1. Let's read B together. How about brothers on 1, sisters on 2? And then all together on 3.
We should always make decisions as a nucleus.
Amen. So one thing I'd like to point out there is that, you know, when we come together, let's say, you know, there are just some that are really willing to come together. What do we do when we come together, right? First of all, it says here that we should pray together. We should pray together. And then the Lord really shows us a pattern in the Word in Acts, right? What did they do when they came together after the Lord ascended? They came together and they just prayed. You know how long they prayed for? 10 days, right? They prayed for 10 days. They came together to pray, right? I really would like to just encourage you before, right, going to do something, just come together to pray. And this is really the way for us to be blended with one another. You know, many of you, I know during summer, you might have some free time. Right, what do you do with that time? Yesterday we saw that we need to get into the Word and we need to get into the ministry, but also it's good to come together to pray for our campuses, to pray for our campuses and to pick up a burden and then to fellowship one another, and then we make decision with one another when we come together, right? At this point, I'd like to call Juhee and Kanai, and you can come up and we'll hear their testimony, okay?
My can say hi. My name is Juhi from I'm Kanae, and we both go to Los Angeles City College. And in the fall semester of 2012, the Lord started a Bible club at our school, LECC. And at the time, I was the only one from the church life, but the Lord blessed it and sent me some companions, Kanae and also another brother named called George. And as I was fellowshipping with them, I just realized that all of us were really burdened for the gospel. But at the same time, we were too afraid or even a little embarrassed to take action on our own. Then the great opportunity came called the Club Rush, where we put out the table, club table, and promote the club and have the students sign up for the club. And through the fellowship with the saints, we came up with the plan, how about we give out free recovery version Bible, but giving in a way of preaching the gospel using a verse, John 3:16, and with the footnote about believe into. So then we started meeting every Wednesday to first get into the word and pray and also to even practice speaking. And I remember all of us getting really nervous as the club rush day was drawing near and having many anxieties like, what if no one comes to our table? Or what if I say something wrong? Or what if I just blanked out? But praise the Lord! This made us really come together and pray. We often lacked confidence because all of us were, English is not our first language, but still, we encouraged each other saying, you know, we cannot, but the Lord can. Let's open our being through a prayer so He can speak through us. And even right before the club rushed, we were like, let's pray before we start. And we just couldn't resist but to pray because only when we are praying, we felt peace in it and we could rest in peace. And we really pray that the Lord would gain such oneness among us, that we would express and represent Him with the authority that the Satan will be crushed. Amen. And we can declare the gospel over the whole campus. And I could testify that that Club Rush was the best Club Rush that we ever had because we were not only preaching the gospel, but we were being built up and enjoying the one Christ.
After Club Rush, we got the many students who are interested in our Bible Club. I didn't expect that many students are seeking the Lord, and we pray for them. Honestly, at the time, I'm really satisfied with those names, and I thought, we didn't need to pray for them because they are already interested in our Bible club enough already. And yeah, but it was wrong. We have to take care of them through our prayer.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah. And also, we were coordinating about what we're going to do in our Bible club meeting. And first time of the nucleus meeting, I didn't know that we would coordinate about the club. We coordinate about the club and giving an introduction in the club meeting. And after I heard about it, I felt like I cannot do this. I cannot speak in front of the students. They are not going to understand my English. Why I came here the nucleus meeting, but I totally forgot there is a companion to support me and pray for me.
Amen.
I'm not the only one that giving an introduction beginning of the meeting. So Juhi and George always help me introduction to fix my English to support me. So now I really like it, seeing them in the coordination meeting once a week. Sometimes I would struggle about the verses, but at the time, but they helped me out and I can ask questions at the time. So that I gained the word with them. Also at the time, we prepare for the Bible club meeting to help other students have the same enjoyment as we had.
Amen.
Now we have about 10 Bible Club members who come to the meeting, and there are about 4 core students meeting every once a week.
Amen. We just want to finish with the verse that Brother mentioned,
Daniel 11:32b. But the people who know their God will show strength and take action.
Amen. Saints, let's show strength
and take action.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that encouraging? You know, it's possible because we have a God, right, who is able to do all things. So some of us, we might be on a campus where, just like Juhi said there, she was the only one. What do I do? Right? We might have this concept, okay, I need to have at least 5 people, at least 4 living creatures, right, to have a nucleus. But no, actually, if we are those who are vital, if we are those who seek the Lord, then the Lord will have a way, right, to bring others to us. So don't be discouraged if you are even... if there are only 1 or 2 on your campus, it's okay, right? You just begin through prayer, right? And I really appreciate even their testimony. You know, they prayed, and then the Lord really just answered their prayer. And the other thing is they realized that they need one another, right? And that's why we need to coordinate with one another, right? You probably hear this word a lot, coordinate, student coordination, right? Coming together, realizing that actually we by ourselves cannot do it, right? Just like they shared. None of them really know how to preach the gospel or what to do, but when they came together, they prayed, they fellowshiped, and there was the loving and caring atmosphere, and eventually the Lord was able to really bless that, right? So anyway, I just really want to point that out, that in order for us, in order for the Lord to really bless us, we need to have this kind of coordination and fellowship one another and praying for one another, right? Okay, how about let's read C together. Amen. And this particular... I have a little bit of burden related to this, is that some of the campuses or, you know, you do have a student nucleus. You do have some that are burdened, that are coming together. And to a certain degree, even there's some that you are caring for, right? You are shepherding them, caring for them, and some of them are your friends and you're bearing fruit, right? But actually, we see what is the goal of having a student nucleus on the campus, right? Is it that just that you can get together, you can all enjoy the Lord together, which certainly you need to enjoy the Lord together, being with one another, right, in this kind of way. But I would say the goal of the student nucleus is actually, what do you think? What do you think is the goal of the student nucleus? Sorry? Okay, remaining fruit, that's very good, remaining fruit. That's certainly part of it. I would say actually the goal of the student nucleus is to reproduce yourself. To reproduce yourself, right? If you just consider, how many of you are juniors and seniors? Okay, juniors and seniors, right? Okay. You know, you are on the college campus for maybe 4, maybe 5, at most maybe 6 years, right? 6 years. But you're not going to be there for the rest of your life, unless you're like me. You know, maybe I'll be there for the rest of my life. But anyway, at a certain point, you graduate from a college campus. And once you graduate, what happens to the student nucleus? Right? What happens? So anyway, I just want to really impress you, especially, you know, if you are a junior or a senior, actually, the student nucleus, you should have the goal to actually reproduce yourself. To reproduce yourself, right? It's good. We need to bear remaining fruit. We need to shepherd them, bring them to the Lord. But eventually we realize the Lord desires to have a continuation, right? Even he himself, he didn't just come to the earth and accomplish redemption, become the life-giving spirit, and end there, right? He had some that he was with, and eventually he brought these ones to become a nucleus, the 12 apostles, right? You could say they are a nucleus. So for us, also, our goal is not just that we can have a lot of students, which, you know, we certainly ask the Lord to bless us with remaining fruit, but then we should consider, right, how do we bring others also into the student nucleus so that there can be a continuation. And that's why in this point that we need to help them to grow, right? We need to help them to participate and to function, right? To function also as part of the student nucleus, okay? And then now let's go to D. How about let's read D and then an E. Let's read those two points together. If we continue in these two steps, we will see the result. Okay, we will see the result. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the next section here, I'd just like to speak a little bit briefly about this, which is a matter of our relationship with the church and with the body. And I think this especially applies to some of the campuses. Maybe there's only one or two of you there, right? And you might have the feeling that, what can we do, right? Maybe some of the freshmen, right? A lot of us are fresh. A lot of you are freshmen. You're going into a campus, and maybe you're the only one there, right? What do you do? I would say, actually, you are not the only one there on that campus, right? If you have the experience of really enjoying the Lord with the saints and being connected with the saints in the church life, when you go on that campus, actually, it's not just you going there. Actually, you have a whole lot of people behind you on that campus with you, right? And even the reason that we're there on the campus is not just eventually that we can have a very large and successful work on that campus, but it's actually to build up the body of Christ, right? It's to actually have the bride prepared so the Lord can come. So that's why it's so important for us to have a proper relationship with the saints. And even eventually, those that whom you bring into, right, into your clubs and these on the campuses, eventually we would like to bring them into the church, into the body of Christ. Just like the students from Saddleback, their testimony is also that, you know, they didn't just have that thing on campus, but they also brought a lot of these students into the homes, into the church. And I think there will be more fellowship concerning that tomorrow. But that is really crucial. But for that, we have to be those who are also blended with the saints in the church life, right? Okay, how about let's go ahead and just read the focus together. Amen. So to end, I just like to tell you a little story. Okay. How many of you have heard of the haystack prayer meeting? The haystack prayer meeting. Okay, maybe a few of you, okay? So this story actually began in 1806, which is a long time ago. You know, you might think that does not apply to us, but actually it very much applies to us. And what happened there was actually a group of students at that time, college students, at Williams College in Massachusetts, right? One of these days, and there are a group of them, they've been coming together, and one of these days, actually, they decided to just have a prayer meeting, And there were only five of them, and they came together. And as they were coming together, what happened was a storm started to come in. And then they just gathered themselves in this, I think it was a small cabin or area, and there was just a stack of hay, right? That's all it is. And they were there, and they just prayed. Right? And then from that point on, out of that prayer meeting, You know what the Lord was able to do at that time? You know, the Lord really burdened them to go out for the gospel, right? To go out for the gospel. And that is actually the beginning of many missionaries being sent out from the United States to preach the gospel, right, to the heathen lands, even in Asia and in so many other places, right? And I just want to impress you, young people, you're not too young to take the lead to do this, right? You know, they were just a group of students as well. And their situation at that time on the campus is actually not that much better than yours, right? There was also a lot of different things going on. People were going away from the Bible, doing all kinds of things, right? But there was a group of believers, young people, burdened for the gospel to go out. And they came together and they prayed. And through that prayer, the Lord was able to do so much, right? But today, as yesterday we saw, what we have is actually the gospel of the kingdom, right? We have the highest truth, right? But who will be those who actually propagate this on our college campuses? You know, I just want to say an encouraging word, even to the freshmen, you are not too young. You're not too young, right? If we have a heart for this, we come together to pray, the Lord will have the way for the gospel to really go out on our campuses, okay? How about we'll just, I'll just end here, and maybe we just spend a minute or so to pray with our neighbors, to pray with our neighbors. Okay.